This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, October 24, 2021. The 21st Sunday After Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let's take a reading today from Hebrews. Gives us a chance to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am often up here saying, well, you need to get back to Catholicism 101, because it is unfortunate in our day and age that a lot of Catholics don't know Catholicism 101. Today we're actually going to talk about Catholicism 201. If you chew on it long enough, it might even enter into 301, because it's about the Eucharist, and it's something that we need to think about that a whole lot of people don't realize, maybe you've never heard before. And how are you getting Eucharist out of Hebrews? Well, when that last verse comes up to us, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, we have to understand first and foremost, why does he say anything about priests? Because that's what priests do. Priests offer sacrifice. They can do other things, but the reason that they take in air is to offer sacrifice. Our Lord instituted, we don't need priests anymore. We have Jesus. He's our high priest. Yes, he is. He's our eternal high priest, but he's also in heaven making intercession for us. So he left a priesthood down here, a New Testament priesthood, to offer sacrifice for him. We never want to lose sight of the fact that when we come in this place, every time you go to Mass anywhere, whether they present it this way or not, the Mass is, as it has ever been referred, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It is not about a reenactment of the supper. It is not the communion meal. It is those things, but in an ancillary way, it is first and foremost the sacrifice. And this is where it gets to where you can start chewing on things. The Eucharist that our Lord instituted on Holy Thursday is two things. It is a sacrament and a sacrifice. The Eucharist is a sacrament and sacrifice. It's not a matter that we're trying to teach, well, the sacrament is also a sacrifice. They are two completely different things. What's the big deal? The big deal is if you don't understand that. And this is why St. Paul, in the letter of Hebrews, emphasizes this whole sacrificial thing. We're talking about the book of Hebrews. This is very later on in New Testament. Why isn't he talking about the Eucharist? Why does he talk about the bloodless sacrifice? Because if you don't understand the bloody sacrifice, you cannot comprehend the bloodless sacrifice. If you don't know that the bloodless sacrifice is founded on the bloody sacrifice, then all of a sudden you lose focus. And we see that in our day and age, this loss of focus. I always stand up here quite frequently, sometimes mockingly. I speak of other places where you walk in and you hear nothing but talking and you hear laughing. It's like you're almost in a club. Yeah, people receiving the Blessed Sacrament, they walk back to their pews. Oh, I didn't get to shake hands with him earlier. I got to jump pews and go ahead. You see that stuff all the time. I see it when I visit. Why does that happen? They don't know how to act in church. Why don't they know how to act in church? Because they've been taught for 50 plus years now that it's a communal thing. And if you emphasize the people, it's a communal thing, what are they going to do when they go in there? They're going to act like it's a communal thing. They're going to act like it's a social endeavor. This is why, for instance, you see on the marquees out in a lot of our churches, St. Fill-in-the-Blanks Catholic Community. Where'd that come from? That's very new. Everybody referred to as Catholic communities. Where did it come from? Misunderstanding what goes on in there. If you think it's a social thing, it's community. Look up community in the dictionary. I'm going to belabor it. Look up community in the dictionary. Group of people, a fellowship. When we come in here, we are giving worship to the Father for sending the Son to die on the cross for us. That is what your church has always taught, ever. The church has always been focused on the cross, the sacrifice, and Christ. That's it. The communal thing comes from being in union with this one who sacrificed himself for us. When we start to lose our focus on the cross, everything else comes up. We hear all about all kind of other stuff except the cross. There have been documents from on high within the past year or so, documents emanating from within the church that do not mention Jesus Christ once. Not once. How can that be? Well, that document also involves, and it's going to these other people, you know, they're not Christians and they could be offended by it. Tough. When did Jesus ever start caring about what other people thought? About what he had to say? Every time he showed up somewhere, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That first word, repent. Turn away from what you are. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn toward God. He never went into another village and said, yeah, I heard they got kind of upset down there when I told them to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, I'm going to lighten up a little bit. He never lightened up. And then our Lord popped off to Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate looked at me. Don't you know you're not going to answer me? You don't know that I have the power to crucify you or to set you free? Our Lord looks at him, and he did have the power to crucify him or set him free. Our Lord looks at him and says, you have no power over me unless that has been given to you from on high. That's pretty bold talk for a guy who's looking at the guy who could nail him to a piece of wood. And he did. Our Lord doesn't want to impress people. That's not what he was about. That's not what he wants us to be about. He wants us to understand and appreciate this focus of the sacrifice of the Mass. Because again, when you lose that sacrifice, and that's exactly what Satan wants. Satan always wants you, he'll give you enough. You believe whatever you want. Believe whatever you want, just not that thing that gets you into heaven. Well, they're monotheists. There are nowhere in the scriptures that say if you believe in a monotheistic God, you'll go to heaven. The message of scripture is that you need to embrace the cross of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice to get into heaven. So we hear all this monotheistic stuff, children of Abraham. St. John the Baptist and our Lord addressed that issue. He'd raise up children of Abraham from these stones. That's meaningless. It's the cross of Christ. That's what we've always been about. And that's what we've lost over the past several decades. His focus on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why you hear so much about not leaving your big carbon footprint, and you hear about, you know, that this one came out this week. The gospel says we need to listen to the world. That is exactly the opposite of what the gospel says. We're not supposed to listen to them. They're supposed to listen to us. We are supposed to confront them with the truths of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And the necessity of that to get you into heaven, that's the gospel. That's a person completely disconnected with the truth of the gospel that would say that. That we're supposed to listen to people. I could care less what some pagan thinks about the Catholic Church. That's actually going on right now. They've got all kinds of surveys going on with all kinds of people outside the church. Synodality. That's trash. It's not how the Lord instituted the church. You are Peter. You, Peter. And on this rock I will build my church. Not, hey, all you apostles go out and get a consensus of what the people want to do. It's antithetical to what we're about. But why are we hearing that? Because there's been a loss of focus on the cross. This is the truth of the matter. What's the problem? What's one problem? The problem emanates from the church becoming, as it has always been, Christ-centered. To the past several decades, where it has become man-centered. There was a place close by 2-3 years ago now. What do you think we should do with the Mass to bring more people in? How about say it reverently? Maybe like Jesus might be there for real, so they're acting like it's a big show. Okay, how about that? That'll get more people in there. Guarantee it. Guarantee it. Do what you're supposed to do. And stop trying to appeal to people. Okay, this is just a reality of things. When we lose focus from the cross, and this is what St. Paul, this is why his emphasis is on the sacrificial nature. This is why you're a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, because you get both sides of the coin with this Melchizedek character. What was the immaculate victim, the sacrifice that Melchizedek brought? Well, that's the Old Testament. That's back in Genesis. Probably some kind of bull or bread and wine. Bread and wine. Really kind of interesting. Bread and wine. How is that a sacrifice? How is that a victim? We don't get it until a Holy Thursday. This is my body. This is my blood, which will be poured out for you. This is what our Lord wants us to emphasize. He never once says that the institution is sacrifice. Isn't it great that we're all hanging out together? Isn't it a great fellowship? Never says that once. All he emphasizes is about his broken body and his shed blood. It's going to be given up for you. This is the focus. He has no other focus. We ought not have any other focus. Our focus needs to remain on the holy sacrifice of the Mass. There are people who don't even have never heard that term before. Holy sacrifice of the Mass. As I said, when we began, the Eucharist, and that's what it is. That's why our Lord instituted the Eucharist. He instituted the Eucharist for two purposes, sacrament and sacrifice. Two different things. That starts in the Old Testament also. The Passover lamb, most people know the Passover story. Every Passover they had to, in remembrance of what of God taking them out of the land of Egypt, they killed a lamb and then they ate it. When you kill it, you're sacrificing it. When you eat it, it's a benefit to you. Sacrament. Offering, receiving. That is a stage set in the Old Testament. Again, Melchizedek, Genesis chapter 14, way, way back at the beginning. We look at Genesis, we look at the Passover, and as times go on, you even see right at the end of the Old Testament, the prophet Malachi. You know, Malachi is a Jew, you know, and all the Jews are listening, and he's writing to Jews, and he says, God hates your killed animal, in a nutshell. He hates your dead animals. He doesn't need your dead animals, okay, you Jews who think you're the chosen people of God, everything. He said, the Gentiles are going to love me. This is a prophet. He's speaking about the future. The Gentiles are going to love me, and in every place there is a sacrifice, there is offered in my name a clean oblation. God doesn't need your blood, okay? He doesn't need the blood of bulls and goats. He says that several times in the Old Testament. He wants a clean oblation, but the oblation is the sacrifice of his son that was done in a bloody manner once for all, and that we represent every time we come to Mass. English falls short. We got no other words that can translate from the Greek what our Lord says when he institutes the Lord's Supper. The Greek word anamnesis. You know, when we hear, do this in remembrance of me, when we remember something, we bring up cognitively something that has happened in the past. That's not what the Holy Sacrifice is. It is a representation of the sacrifice on Calvary. This is why it's hard to get your head around it. Every time we come to Mass, during the canon of the Mass, we see the barriers of time and space go away. We are at Calvary. Literally, objectively, we are at Calvary. Calvary comes forward to us. When we say, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we're talking about reality. This is what's going on objectively right now. You don't get to see it objectively because we're still down here in this place and we're still separated. But sacramentally, we see these benefits of being one with these people. So we see that we have to understand the differences in the Eucharist. It is two things. It is a sacrament and it is a sacrifice. When we receive a sacrament, we get things. Remember I said about the lamb before? You kill it, that's a sacrifice. When you eat it, That's a benefit to you. It's something you receive. Sacramentally is when we receive things from the Eucharist. We come up to the altar and you receive our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity, if you are properly disposed to receive our Lord. When you come up and receive our Lord, you receive, and this is not the time nor the place to get into all the merits, the myriad merits and benefits we get from when we receive our Lord. But I mean, it's food for the soul. Everybody kind of gets that one. Very general. We receive all kinds of graces to continue a life of faith, be free from temptations and things of that nature. And sacramentally, we are prepared for eternal life. That's why our Lord says, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life in him, but he who does not eat my flesh and does not drink my blood, they have no life in them. So all your friends who like to, I'm a Christian, but that's not really Jesus that I have in the Lord's Supper. They don't eat his flesh and drink his blood. And what Jesus just says there should be kind of scary for them if they're paying attention. Okay, so sacramentally, we receive things. Only at the Mass do we offer the sacrifice. And a lot of people ask me questions. Should I receive? Should I not receive? That's a discussion for each and every individual. But at the end of the day, when you come to Mass, you do not have the obligation to receive. Holy Church says you need to receive communion once a year. What? Once a year at Easter time. That's it. It's on you, if you're properly disposed, to receive as much as you want between those, the Easter to one year and Easter to next. That you have an obligation to be here to assist at the Holy Sacrifice. Why is that? Because wherein sacramentally we receive things from the Eucharist, when we're at the sacrifice, we offer God something. Newsflash, as great as we think we are, we got nothing to offer God. Nothing. We are sin-cursed, we are fallen, we are prone to sin, we're dead in trespasses and sins. Even after our baptism, we have that constant struggle between the old man and the new man, and concupiscence, theological term, a sin. We're always struggling with temptations. That when we come here and we offer the sacrifice of the Mass, when we assist at that, the Roman Catechism says that it has a peculiar character by which we are able to make some return to God for the immense benefits that he bestows on us. So everything that we receive sacramentally, we give him thanks and offer praise to him. We offer him his son. We offer him that cross. God is timeless, and we're not. And so it's kind of hard for us to comprehend that whole barriers of time and space. This is about God. Again, something we've kind of lost over the past 50 years. When you come in here, it's about God. It's not about you. It is not about you. You can't help but to benefit from it. You cannot help it. Whether you want to or not, you'll benefit from just being in the presence of Christ this close. But we need to understand that we've got nothing of ourselves to offer God. So he's even made provisions for that. What do they have to offer me? I'll send them my son. He can die, and they offer his sacrifice to me. That's what we do in every single Mass. Every single Mass, we represent, not to us. It has nothing to do. We represent the sacrifice of Christ to the Father. That's why the prayers you offer at Mass are going to be answered much more efficaciously than the ones you offer at your bedside or sit in your easy chair or driving your car. Well, why? Because when you're here and you pray at the Mass, our Lord looks down. He doesn't see you. He sees his son hanging on the cross. He's timeless. He's eternal. It's not like I remember when my son was hung on the cross 2,000 years ago. He sees it like we're looking at one another right now. This is what we do every time we come to Mass. This is why our Lord instituted it. He instituted the Eucharist to not only receive things, and we love receiving things, we love getting things, but we never want to lose sight of the fact that we need to offer him something in thanksgiving for this, and it's the sacrifice of the Mass. That's what this is all about. We've lost sight of what the sacraments, all of them, are for. Here in a couple minutes, we're going to have some confirmations. And if you will notice, none of them is 8 or 9 years old, which is generally the age of people that come up here. Why is that? Because for one circumstance in life or another circumstance in life, whether it be, you know, this went on and this went on in my life or this, or, you know, I just never thought it was a big deal. You know, I didn't get confirmed when I was, because we moved around and stuff like that. And later on in life, I was like, whatever. It's a huge thing. It's a huge thing when people show up someplace that are actually told. Your confirmation is the completion of your baptism. That's where it's complete. We got people running around, and it's a lot. You know, we're doing three today, but there are, you know, we do a lot of confirmations around here in that context. Why? Because people finally realize. They finally realize, oh my gosh, this is sacraments, like, they're really important. Yeah, they are. They're very important for our salvation. You don't want to lose sight of any proposition of Holy Church. Never want to lose sight of it. It's all important. But it's important particularly when we truly understand it. Like the Eucharist, confirmation. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost.